Hey guys, welcome to the brand new episode of Astrophysica's podcast. Myself, Aman Mohan, and with me, Shweta. Hey, Shweta.
Hi, Aman. Hi, guys.
Great. So guys, you all know what stellar means, right? And you all know what dynamics means. So today, our topic is going to be stellar dynamics. And it's basically a branch of astrophysics which describes the collective motion of stars subject to their mutual gravity in a statistical way. That is, it describes systems of many point mass particles whose mutual gravitational interactions determine their orbits. So Shweta, like, how is this stellar dynamics different from celestial mechanics?
That's a really good question. The main physical feature which distinguishes both is that each particle, it doesn't matter if the particle represents a star or an entire galaxy. So each particle contributes importantly to the overall gravitational field in case of stellar dynamics. Whereas in celestial mechanics, the gravitational force of a massive planet or star is what dominates its satellite orbits.
Yeah, and the long range of gravity and the slow relaxation of stellar systems prevent the use of conventional methods of, you know, statistical physics, as stellar dynamical orbits tend to be much more irregular and chaotic than celestial mechanical orbits.
That's right, because stellar dynamics is usually concerned with the more global statistical properties of, say, several orbits rather than with specific data on the positions as well as velocities of individual orbits. The motion of stars, say, in a galaxy or even in a globular cluster are mainly determined by the average distribution of the other distant stars and are very little, they influence very little by the nearest stars.
True. And, you know, the relaxation of stars I mentioned previously is basically the process deflecting the individual trajectories of stars from the one they would have if the distribution of matter was perfectly smooth. And the two-body relaxation is induced by the individual star-star interactions, while the violent relaxation is actually induced by a large, say, collective variation of the stellar system shape.
Yeah, and there is a mathematical undercurrent to stellar dynamics. The key physical theories, classical analytical mechanics, Newtonian gravity, and statistical thermodynamics on one hand are closely related to all the mathematical branches of dynamical systems and also the ergodic theory, which itself has major connections to the DS theory respectively.
That's true. And, you know, the possibility of gravitational interactions and collisions also lead to a treatment of mathematical scattering theory. And, you know, as such, a number of stellar dynamicists are also mathematicians by training.
That's right. The description of stellar dynamical systems is usually concerned with statistics and basically statistical properties of many orbits, rather than dealing with, say, detailed positions and velocities of individual orbits, as mentioned earlier. So it is not surprising that the kinetic theory of gases, which was developed by Maxwell, Boltzmann and others in the late 19th century, I believe, was adapted by astrophysicists such as Jeans, who is very famous for his Jeans theory, to stellar dynamics in the early 20th century. But I believe all of this needs to have a starting point, right? So what is the starting point, Aman, of, say, this stellar dynamics, if there is any?
Yeah, so, you know, the starting point is actually the mean free path, okay? And the mean free path is often denoted by the Greek letter lambda, is the average distance a particle travels between two collisions, okay? And it is related to the number of, density of the particles as well as the collision cross-section. A lot of jargon, right? Well, if you take a look at the expression, you'll see that it has basically two physical interpretations. So, Shweta, why don't you explain that?
Yeah, that's right. It's a lot of jargon, but if you just go ahead and look at the equation, so basically the first interpretation would be that the average number of times an object can move through its own diameter before it undergoes collision or before colliding with another body is essentially the ratio of the entire system's volume, or you can say the entire cluster's volume, to that occupied by all the stars present in that cluster. And the second interpretation can be that the number of cluster radii the object can travel before colliding is essentially the ratio of the projected area of that cluster to all of the objects that is present. But I believe this is also a lot of jargon, isn't it, Aman?
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, in many astronomical systems, these ratios are very large, and therefore, stellar dynamics is a good approximation over a wide range of conditions. And although geometric geometric collisions may be infrequent, gravitational encounters are common.
That's right. And these occur when one object passes by another, disturbing or perturbing both the orbits. Naturally, in a finite system, all the objects passing by each other all the time. So this process is continuous. But if you have a system which is already, you know, fairly stable, then most perturbations are very small. But however, the cumulative effects over a longer period of time can be very large and can also affect the evolution of the system significantly.
Yeah. And, you know, stellar dynamics is basically used to study the mass distribution within stellar systems and galaxies. And, you know, early examples of applying stellar dynamics to clusters include Albert Einstein's 1921 paper applying the Virial theorem to spherical star clusters and Fritz Zwicky's 1933 paper applying the Virial theorem specifically to the Coma cluster, you know, which was one of the original harbingers of the idea of dark matter in the universe.
Yeah. And the genes equations have also been used to understand different observational data of stellar motion or motion of stars in our own galaxy. For example, you have Jan Oort, who utilized genes equations to determine the average matter density within the vicinity of the solar neighborhood, whereas the concept of asymmetric drift came from studying genes equations in cylindrical coordinates.
Yeah, and finally, you know, stellar dynamics also provides insight into the structure of galaxy formation and evolution. And the dynamical models and observations are used to study the triaxial structure of elliptical galaxies and also suggests that prominent spiral galaxies are created from galaxy mergers. And stellar dynamical models are also used to study the evolution of active galactic nuclei and their black holes, as well as to estimate the mass distribution of dark matter in galaxies. So guys, that was it for this week's episode. Hope you guys liked it. And until next week with a new episode, this is Aman Mohan signing off with Shweta Ramkumar. Bye guys.
Bye guys.